Morning. Today's daf Baba Basra Samach Aleph. We have exited the third parak of Baba Basra Cheskes Sabbatim, starting Chav Ches on 28, and went all the way to Daf Samach. Yesterday's daf, over 30 blot of Gemara dedicated to the topic of creating an acquisition. Through basically, the most of the parak talked about occupancy, meaning just living on the land for 3 years creates a chazak, establishes you as the owner. And so for about a month now, we've discussed the topic of Cheskes Sabbatim. We're going to still stay on the basic discussion of real estate. Most of Baba Basra is dedicated to the topic of real estate. So we're going to be discussing over here a sale. The sale of real estate, sale of property, and specifically the sale of a house. What is included in the sale of a house, what is not included in the sale of a house? Okay, anytime you have a transaction between two people, a buyer and a seller, so people want to know what's included in the sale and what's not included in the sale. So we're going to be discussing over the course of our perek is what is included and what is not included in the sale of a house. As you can imagine, and it's what I'm about to say is pretty reasonable, is that really it's all a question of communication and interpretation. Meaning, I'm going to use a language. We have a basic understanding of what that language means. So you're going to hear the language. Your understanding is going to be based on what is the assumed interpretation of that language. And in fact, even though the Mishnah seems to be giving very hard and fast rules in terms of what is included and what isn't included, already by the first Rashbam, it's a one-word Rashbam. Already by the first Rashbam, you know that really this is just a question of how to interpret that which is normally communicated. Meaning, if you look at the first Rashbam on the Mishnah, Mocher Sabayis Rashbam Zastam, meaning that we weren't very clear about exactly what was included in the sale. So once we're not clear, so then we're going to have to go on normative interpretation of what it means. And again, what normative interpretation for you and I is nowadays is going to be different from back then. First of all, nowadays structurally our houses are different than they were back then. A lot of what I'm going to be saying over the course of the next couple of days in the Daf is going to be basically, let me try to explain, first let me first try to understand, and then let me try to explain like what their houses looked back then. And then you'll understand why this is included, why this is not included. So in other words, so structurally the houses weren't the same. And then on top of that, you had no language, and what language generally connoted, and what was intended by the language. So that's going to be a good part of our discussion. And obviously, as language develops and as people communicate and as things mean not exactly the same as it once was, so one can make the very simple argument that the halacha in this regard is not going to be so absolute. It's not going to be cut and dry. Meaning it basically will go with what generally people understand to be the basic definition of the things that they're describing. So we're, over the course of our perek, at least in the first couple of dapim of this perek, we're going to try to give a definition of what a house is, what is included in the house vis-a-vis a sale. Okay, that's just by way of basic introduction. We now start with the Mishnah. So when you sell a house, so you know what is not included in the sale in the annexed part of the house. So in other words, there was some sort of side house. It was an annex that was built alongside the house, and that's not included in the sale. And again, just, you know, I'm gonna keep hitting the reminder button on this point. And that is because the contract didn't state anything specifically. And since the contract didn't state anything specifically, so therefore, we are now left to decipher what isn't and is not included in the sale. So the annex, which is a side house, is not included in the sale. The alpha pishi psuch lesocho. Now, even though the annex has an opening going into the house, that's okay. That's fine. But that doesn't mean that was part of the sale. It's an annex, meaning it's a different house, and therefore it's not included in the sale of this house. Now, if you have an interior room, now the interior room over here is meant to describe some sort of storage facility that you have in your house. Okay, there's a storage room, a room dedicated not for living, not for the purposes of residence, but just simply for storage. Now, again, it's part of the house, but functionally it's different. It's different, and therefore that too is not included in the sale as well. Velosagag, and not the roof as well. Back in the good old days, the roofs were flat, and therefore you had usage of the roof. So if you sold the house, the roof is not included in the sale, as long as the roof has a fence around it. Now there's a mitzvah in the Torah, meaning a roof needs to have a fence around it, mandated by the Torah, demanded by the Torah, but in addition to fulfilling the mitzvah of putting a fence around your roof, it also creates the roof as an independent entity from the house. And so therefore, even though you sold the house, the roof is not included. And I know it's odd. It's extraordinarily strange. Meaning, the guy's coming over, the guy's buying a house for me, I'm selling it to him. And meanwhile, again, because we weren't clear and specific about what's included and what's not included, so the usage of the rooftop is considered an independent entity, and I've retained that for myself. And out as it may sound, so he'll get the interior of the house, but I'll get the roof. Again, assuming that the roof is an independent entity with its own maka.
But you have access to the roof without going to the house, I guess.
Right. Unclear. The Gemara does not make that point. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't make that point. Okay. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Amar Yesh Lo Tzuras Pesach, Af Pi Shena Gavoa Yutfachim Eino Machor. And Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that, let's say, it has a Tzuras HaPesach. Now again, I struggle in terms of just seeing this, visualizing this. But basically, there is some sort of entrance to get to the rooftop that has the framework, where it has side posts, it has a lentil going over the top. And even though the roof that surrounds it is not tenshfachim, so again, the Tanakhama, it says what creates the rooftop as an independent entity is that it's got a makeh, tenshfachim high. But Rav Yehuda says, even if that doesn't true, but it has its own significant entrance to get to the rooftop, it's Tzuras HaPesach, to get to the top, so that already creates this independent identity towards the rooftop, and therefore, once again, it's not included in part of the sale. Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like the opposite.
Okay, I don't know. In other words, and part of what I don't know also is just to be the ability to visualize. What does it mean that there's a Tzuras HaPesach going up to the rooftop
from the house?
Okay, I hear you. Again, it's fair. It's fair commentary. All right, we are starting with the Gemara. We're on Samech Aleph Amud Aleph and the beginning of the Gemara, my Yitziah. So what does the word Yitziah mean when the Mishnah uses it? Meaning, so here's what we know. The Mishnah says that when you sell a house and it's a generic sale and it wasn't specified, so the Yitziah is not included in the sale of the house. So again, what I said as when going through the Mishnah is that the Yitziah is an annex. But the Gemara clearly wanted a good working definition of what it means. So my Yitziah hachi targimo afta, and Rav Yosef Amar bitka chalila. So over here, meaning here in Bavel. So we translate it as a afta. Now afta is basically an annex, right? A pantamon. Yeah, you're familiar with the word that Rashi uses? I should say the Rashbam. All right. Anyway, the Rashbam writes, the first Rashbam in the Gemara, Binyan Amuch, Eitzel Habayis, Mitzido O Me'achol Rav. A side house, it's lower than the rest of the house. And it's either on the side or it's in the back. And again, I'll just keep using the word annex. It's basically what we're describing. Rav Yosef gives a different definition, and that is Batka Chalila. He describes it as basically, I think... And again, I'm just, you know, this is just me struggling to, you know, give definitions over here. It's kind of like a Florida room. Okay, for those of you who, I don't have one, but for those of you who know, so here in Florida, it gets very hot. So basically what they have, back in the really good old days, is they had a Florida room, where basically it's a room where a lot of windows, right, open to the outside. You can cool off in such a room. I mean, in the summer, there's no such thing, but in other words, the basic purpose of that room is to get as much breeze and air as possible in that room. So, Rav Yosef describes in such a manner, it's bitka chalila, literally a hollow room. If you take a look at the Rashbam over here, bitka chalila, iunami kiminafta, samach labayis. So again, it's a similar idea. Basically, some sort of annexed house next to the major house, next to the main house. Elishasui chalonos chalonos lenoi, but it's all windows and it's all it's decorative. Vahainu lashon chalila al shem shikaslo chalul kosvi veha vasui chalonos, and basically it's called chalila. It's called hollow because the windows all around. Please keep in mind, back in those days when they said windows, you don't really mean windows. You really mean openings, right? The glass panes that we have over our windows, you know, that's modern phenomena. Back then, when you had a window, it meant that it was basically an opening. So it was a room to air out. It was and you cool down over there, and you'll see the Rashbam later. The next Rashbam is going to describe how basically people go there to cool down. Okay, Kenya Rabbeinai, that's the Rashbam says that's what I think the Pshat is regarding Bitcha Chalila. All right, so basically we have two explanations of what the Yitzia is. It's an annex, according to the general Yeshiva HaBavli explanation, it's basically an annex on the side, lower than the rest of the house, and it's not including the sale. According to Rav Yosef, it's a little bit more than an annex. It's an annex with almost like a different purpose. People go there not for residence, not for living, but for, you know, it's a room to cool down. It's like a it's like a veranda, if you will. Yeah, it's like a veranda. So now, Lamanda Amar after Lom is Dav. I'm sorry, Lamanda Amar, continuing now in the Gemara. So according to the one that says after Lom is Davna, look, if the annex is not included part of the sale, Kol Shekein Badka Chalila Lom is Davna. Certainly, the Badka Chalila is not included in the sale as well. Meaning the Badka Chalila has such really a fundamentally different usage than the rest of your house. If you're telling me that a regular annex, which is used for the purposes of living, but it's not part of the original house, it's to the side, even though it has an opening into the main house, but if that's not included in the sale, for sure the Florida room, the veranda, is not included in the sale. But Lamanda, my Badka Chalila... But if you're Rav Yosef, and what you're excluding from the sale is the Badka Chalila, is this like a hollowed out room, so Ava Afta Mizdavna, but you can easily make an argument that according to Rav Yosef, if it's an annex, but it's a real room connected to the house, opening into the house with the same function, so you can make the argument that according to Rav Yosef, that is included in the sale. Okay, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following, which is Shalosh Shemos Yeshlo. This annex that we're describing right now in our Mishnah goes by three synonymous terms: Yitzia, Seila, and Ta. These three terms are all synonymous, and they are all used as part of a description of this annexed room. And the Gemara now is just going to cite Psukim, Mishnayos, that all speak to this idea that these three terms are synonymous, Yitzia Dichsiv. So here we start off with Psukim from Malachim Aleph. This is a description of Bayis Rishon built by Shlomo HaMelech. HaYitzia Tachtona Chamesh Ba'ama Rechva. The Yitzia Tachtona, meaning as the Rashbam over here explains, we're describing basically the hallway and offices that were built around that are built around the Beis HaMikdash. Basically, they were the walls surrounding the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at the Rashbam, HaYitzia Tachtona, Gimel HaYuzu HaGavzu. There were basically three floors, one on top of another. V'chol achas v'achas marcheves ama mechaverta. B'shvil sheyu konsen es achoma ama. Very interesting structure. As you move up on the floors, they actually get wider one another. In other words, and pillars were basically placed at the edge in order to give it support. And basically what you then were able to do was just lay one floor on top of another floor, and you didn't have to go directly into the floor below. Okay, anyway, just a description of Bayis Rishon. The purposes for us right now in our daf is just simply to use the word Yitzia, right? The Navi in Malachim uses the term Yitzia. HaYitzia Tachtona Chamesh Ba'ama Rechva. Tzela, now we're up to the second term, which is again some sort of side building, some sort of annex building. Dichsiv atzlo sela al el tzela shosh v'shloshim pa'amim. Okay, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, and this is used to describe the third Beis HaMikdash. Third Beis HaMikdash, which Yecheskel describes in a Nevuah. So, again, using the word tzela. And ta, dichsiv, v'hata, kana echad, orach, v'kana achav, rachav, ubeina ta'im chamesh amos. Okay, so, again, Psukim and Yecheskel describing basically the same structure, using, instead of the word tzela, using the word ta. Tough Aleph. So, these three words are all used to describe some sort of annex some sort of side building. And now the Gemara says that in addition to that, you know what I could also do? I could also point to a Mishnah. Mishnah and Midos. Mishnah and Midos, which we do go through in the Daf Yomi. It comes up in the end of Seder Kachim. Even though there's no Gemara on the Mishnah, it's the Midos. It's an interesting phenomenon in terms of the Daf, where we learn the Masechta and there is no Gemara. It's just Mishnayos, but we learned it anyway. So why made it into the Daf Yomi cycle? I don't know, but it's good. So, not complaining. So Kosal Eichel Sheish VeHata Sheish Kosal Hata Chamesh. This Mishnah Midos is giving a linear description of the second Beis Hamikdash, and specifically also with the Herod upgrade. We talked recently about the Herod upgrade in the Daf. So the second Beis Hamikdash with the Herod upgrade, going from east to west. In other words, we are taking just simply a single line. A single linear measurement heading from east to west, and basically now we're going from the wall of the Heichal, which is 6 amos, and then the Ta, which is the office building, that Sheish, it's another 6 amos, Kosel HaTa, and now we're heading westbound, and the wall of the Ta, which is another 5 amos, then, if you look over there in the context of the Mishnah basically takes us through the entire, if I remember correctly, 100 amos, which spanned the length from east to west. I think it was 100 amos. Anyway. Oh, I have it right behind me. You're right. No linear measurements over here. But okay, you're right. Okay. Amar Marzutra. Okay, so Adkan. So basically, now what we've seen together now is Psukim in Malachim in Yecheskel, Mishnayos and Midos, all teaching us that this annex building goes by three names. It's called the Yitzia. We saw that in our Mishnah. It's called the Tzela, and it's also called the Ta. And we see it both in the Psukim. We see it in the Mishnayos. Meaning these terms are used throughout. Okay. Ibai Zema, continuing now in the Gemara. Sorry, Amar Marzutra. We're halfway down in Samach Aleph and Aleph. Vehuda Arba Amos. Yes, the annex is considered an independent entity, but in order for it to be considered an independent entity and not including the sale of the house, is only when it has 4 amos by 4 amos. It has to be a significant amount. So, but if it's not a significant amount, so then it's totally subordinate to the house itself, and therefore it's included in the sale of the house. Amalei Rav Hanina Marzutra L'Didchad Amar Adahave Arba Amos Elamiatik Abe Bor Didnan. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to see a Mishnah a couple days from now. On Samach Zalah, we're going to talk about the sale of a pit. Dinan lois abor velois ados afa pisha kasav lo umka veruma. Now later on we're going to be talking about within the sale of a pit that a pit is not included in the sale of a house, meaning I sell you a house, underneath the house, subterranean to the house, there is a pit over there. It's not included in the sale, and even if, this is a big chiddush, and even if the language of the contract said, umka veruma, I'm selling you the house, and we're going to go up and we're going to go down, and that's part of the sale, and yet the subterranean pit underneath the house is not included in the sale. Wow. We'll explain the chiddush a little bit later on when we do the daf inside. But in the meanwhile, the Gemara just wants to know. Now you're telling me that in order for something to have an independent identity, it has to have a minimum shear. The minimum shear has to be 4 by 4 amos. Meanwhile, when it comes to the pit that is below the house, it is never included in the sale of the house, even when the language of the contract states umka veruma, both the depth and the height. By the way, I think I flipped it the first time I said it. Right? Omek means depth, and ro means height. The depth and the height, even though I use that terminology in the contract, the pit is not going to be included, and the Mishnah later on gives no reason for us to think that this should matter what the size of the pit is. The pit is simply not included. So why over here, when it comes to the sale of the house and there's an annex building next to the house, why are we now saying that if the annex is not a minimum shear, so then it becomes subordinate to the house and it's part of the sale of the house? And meanwhile, when it comes to the sale of a house and there's a pit underneath, the pit is never included, irrespective of how large the pit is or how small the pit is. So the Gemara says, Hachiyash, the Gemara says, okay, but the comparison really is not a good comparison. Hasam ha-tashmish l'chud, va-tashmish l'chud. The Gemara says, and it's very intuitive and it's very obvious what the answer is. Look, when you're selling a house, so we could talk about things being included in the sale that are functionally the same. An annex is basically a house. It's a house to the side. So now I'll tell you that if the annex is, does not have an independent identity, and it's smaller than 4x4, and it opens up into the house, and functionally it's the same, so it's included in the sale. Because from a functional standpoint, it's exactly the same. However, when it comes to a pit underneath the house, that's basically, it's for the purpose of storing water. It has nothing to do with residency. So when I'm selling you a house, and even if I'm using the language of umka varuma, but still umka varuma is only including the house and anything that functionally serves like the house. But a pit that's underneath the house, which is used for the storage of water, that is never going to be included, regardless of whether how big it is or how small it is.
How is a person going to access the annex, if it's larger than 4x4, it has to go through the house.
Right. So again, so the access question has been asked before, not because and I'm not saying I answered it before, but I hear you. Meaning that it could very well be that you're going to retain something, even though your access may be impeded. Okay.
Is
Again. Things like that are going to be discussed in more detail. The assumption is that whatever is understood as language, normal language, is going to be included. So, right. I assume so. Now, hacha, let me just finish the Gemara sentence. Over here, however, as far as the house and the annex is concerned, they have one functional, they have the same functional use, which is residence. And look, and if it's 4x4 amos, so then we could argue that's now an independent entity, and therefore not including the sale of the house. If it's less than 4x4, it doesn't have an independent entity, it's subordinate to the house, and because functionally it's the same, so therefore it's including the sale. Okay, adkan. V'lo zecherish lefnim emenu. Now the Gemara now discusses the storage room. In other words, so the house has a storage room, and that's not including the sale. Because again, when I'm selling a house, and again, go back to the basic point that we discussed in the beginning of the shiur today. When we're talking about the sale of the house, we're talking about where it was not specified what is included in the sale. And now it's open to interpretation. So what we're saying now is that what is not included in the sale, in this generic sale, is going to be a storage room, even though the storage room is in the house. But since functionally it's not for residence, it's just for storage, it's therefore not going to be included in the sale. And wait till you hear this chiddush. Really, it really was an amazing chiddush, at least to me. So the Gemara first starts off by saying, look, we have an annex building next to the house. It is not only next to the house, again, it has a doorway opening up into the house. And yet, we excluded that from the sale. A storage room, the Gemara says, for sure should be excluded from the sale. It's functionally, it's not for the purpose of residence. People are not living in that room. People are using it just for the purpose of storage. So for sure should not be included in the sale. And the Gemara says, and I don't even see this as being a chiddush. Okay, so the Gemara says, so now we have to insert chiddush. Watch this chiddush. It really is amazing. Lo tzricha da'afagav de'metzalo mitzra ebrai. So the Gemara says, well, you know, we weren't really that particular specific about what's included in the sale of the house, but here's what we did do. We did actually measure the outer perimeter of the house and the outer dimensions of the house, and we actually wrote that into the contract. And so therefore, and those measurements included the storage room. And now what we're saying, and again, to me, this is such a big chiddush. And now what we're saying is that even though the outer dimensions were recorded in the contract, and even though the storage room is actually incorporated within those outer perimeter, but again, because I'm selling you a house and the purpose of which is for residence, so the storage room is not going to be included, even though, right, this is the chiddush, even though that storage room is in the outline perimeter of the house.
That works for the pit too.
The pit is so functionally different. Like, in other words, there it's like not even open for discussion. Over here, it's a big chiddush. The Kiddur Rav Nachman, and the Gemara now is going to point out that this fits well with a statement made by Rav Nachman. We're going to have a couple statements made by Rav Nachman, where basically we're going to see this idea that if you have a room, even though we've actually recorded in the contract the dimensions and the outer perimeter, we're still going to make the argument that the only thing including the sale is something which is functionally residential. Once you have a place over here that's not functionally residential, it's not included in the sale, even though it's within the perimeter. Because the Gemara says, because Rav Nachman, Dama Rav Nachman. Amar Rava, Bar Ravua. So we're going to have a couple statements made by Rav Nachman. Here's number one. Hamocher, Mocher is Ba'is L'Chaver Be'Bira Gedola. Let's say you sell your house to a friend and it's within Bira Gedola. Now, the term Bira, so you're going to hear that term again and again describing the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, over here, we're not describing the Beis HaMikdash. We're describing basically a large hallway, right? A large hallway, right? Bira Gedola, take a look at the Rashbam, the description. Bais Gadol Hi, Upsuchim Lo Batim Sviva Sav. It's this big structure. A lot of houses are open to it. Veina Bira Asur L'Tashmish, Ela L'Yeshiva V'Hiluch B'nei Abatim. Now, what is this big house serve as? People are not living in it, but basically it's a way of connecting one to another. Okay, I heard Phil say this, I'll say it. It's like an apartment building. You say you have an apartment building, so now I'm selling you the housing of the apartment building. Okay, hallways are included, yes or no? So Rav Nachman is going to make the argument, no, hallways are not included. Again, because functionally it does not serve the purpose of bias. It's not residentially, it's not for residential purposes. It services the...
Huh?
Common yard. Over here, it's common yard with a roof on top. So, yeah. The hallway of the apartment is like a good. I think it's a good way to think about it. So, Hamocher Bais L'Chaver Be'Bir Gadol Afa Pisha Mitzlo Mitzarim Achitzonim Mitzarim Hirchiv Lo. So, again, even if we measure the outer perimeter, and even though that measurement of the outer perimeter includes the hallway, still it's not going to be included in the sale. So the Gemara says, Hechi Dami. Now the Gemara says, even here, let's just offer a little more context so we can understand and appreciate how big a chiddush we're saying. Elam Medikar Labais Bais Labira Bira. So the Gemara says, now from a nomenclature standpoint, if by name alone, you know, when we say the word Bais, we're referring to the residents, the actual houses. And when we say the word Bira, we're referring to the large hall. Hallway that's serving as a means of people getting from one point to another. So pshita by zaven lay, birlo zaven lay. If in the contracts we dictate that it states that I'm selling you a bias, so here I don't even need a chiddush, meaning it's obvious. I'm selling you the bias, even though the bira is connected, and even though we measured, and even though the bira is included in the measurement, but it's clear our language dictates that bias and bira is bira. Ela de la bira, now mi kavale bias, kule zaven lay. So the Gemara says, and if people go around using the word bias to describe the bira, so then the bira is going to be included, because when we say bias, we mean both. In other words, in a community where bias both means housing and the connective hallways. So the Gemara says, Zotzricha de ruba karale labayis, bias, labira bira, v'ikanami de labira karale bias. So the Gemara says, well, we live in a kind of community, in a kind of society, where the terms sometimes get shuffled around. Sometimes the... most people refer to the house as a house and the bira as a bira. However, there are some that refer to the bira as a house. And therefore, ma'udetema kule zaven lay. So therefore, look, it is open to interpretation. And there are some people who, when using the word bais, are including both the house and the connective hallways as well. So I might have thought that therefore, if we have a sale where I'm using in the contract the language of bais, and some people use bais to mean both bais and bira, and we also made a measurement, and that measurement also included the bira as well. So therefore, we now have a pretty sound argument to make that the bira is included in the sale, kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's the chiddush. The chiddush is it's not included in the sale. Why? Medahavale lemechta velo shari bezvina alein klom. Because if you wrote the following language in the contract, and you said in the contract that I'm selling you everything, and I'm not retaining anything for myself. So that strong language and that kind of language implies that you get everything. But if you don't write that in the contract, then it's assumed that I'm selling, but I'm also retaining. I'm selling you anything that is definitively called bias, but anything that's not definitively called bias, I'm retaining for myself. V'lo kasav shema min ashir ishayar. Since you didn't write in the contract, I'm not retaining anything for myself. Therefore, according to Rav Nachman, you are. And therefore, anything which is open to interpretation not to be included in the contract is not going to be included in the contract. Okay. So there we have now statement number one of Rav Nachman, and the Gemara is telling us, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. So we have now a Mishnah and a really tremendous Chiddush, which the Gemara is going to support, not once, but twice. And that is that when I'm selling you a house, and in the house is a storage room, and even if in the contract we have the measurements of the house, and even if the storage room is within those measurements of the house, I'm still not selling you the storage room. That is retained for myself. And again, it's based on a ruling of Rav Nachman. I know Rav Nachman comes after the Mishnah. We all know that. But in other words, this is in consistency with Rav Nachman, that in order for everything to be included in the sale, the language of I don't retain anything for myself has to be included in the contract. Short of that, you are going to retain something for yourself. What are you retaining? Anything which is open to be interpreted as not being included in the sale. Again, that's point number one of this morning. If we are not specifying what's included in the sale. If you do specify, so then obviously it is included. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. So here we go now in round two. It's going to basically be the same point, but instead of using housing housing and hallways, we're going to be talking about fields and valleys. I'm selling a field within a Bika Gadola. So it's a large valley, and the valleys open up to many fields. So construct-wise, it's basically the same as our apartment complex. There's a hallway, and many homes open up to the hallway. So here, it's a valley with many fields open up to it. Now, it's true that we did survey the land. And in the contract, we have the measurements. And it's also true that in the survey that was given in the contract, it actually includes a valley. But since the contract states that I'm selling you a field, so the valley is not included in the sale, even though it's included in the survey, in the measurements of the survey. Now, again, the Gemara is going to go through the same give and take. Hey, Chidami. Elam adikar le sada sada le beka beka pshita, sada zaven le beka lo zaven le. So if everybody exclusively refers to a field as a sada, and everyone exclusively refers to the valley as a beka, and nobody confuses that terminology, so then we have clear understanding that if the contract says I'm selling you a field, the beka is not included. That's obvious. And if everybody also refers to the valley as a field, and I say I'm selling you the field, so again, we can all agree that the valley is included in the sale. So again, it's the same idea that we expressed earlier, where when a person says the word bika, some call the bika a bika, some refer to it as a sada. So in other words, the term is not an exclusively used term. So now we can make the argument that, look, I'm selling you the field. We actually surveyed the land, and in that survey it included the bika. And some people actually refer to the bika as a sada. So now we have a very strong argument that you can make that the bika is included in the sale. Kamash Malan, Midava Lemichtav Lelo Shari Bizvina Alan Kadme Klum, Velo Kasav Leish Mamina Shari Shariar. So again, the Gemara makes exactly the same point. I told you it's round two of the same point. Because the seller did not include in the contract the words, and I don't retain anything for myself, so that means that we'll assume that he does retain. And what is he going to retain? Anything which could plausibly be argued is something that he retains for himself, which would be the valley. Because not everybody refers to the valley as a sada. Some people refer to the valley as a bika, and therefore, since we can make a plausible argument that I return the valley for myself, therefore I keep it for myself. Okay, so really now Rav Nachman has made the same point regarding hallways and houses and valleys and fields. Sricha, and the Gemara says, and now why do we have to say the same point twice? The Gemara says it's necessary. So the Gemara says, look, in the case of the houses and the hallways, so you understand that the hallways and the houses have two really different functions. House is residence and hallways just simply to get from one to another. But in terms of the valley, Functionally, is there really a difference between a valley and a field? No. It just happens to be that we marked off fields and the valleys are access points, but the valley, truth of the matter is, can also be turned around and turned into a field. So there's no real functional difference between a valley and a field. So Ema Kuli Zavinle. So here there is even a stronger argument that one can make that everything should be included in the sale valley as well. V'yashmina Bika, and we could also go in the argument in the other direction as well. If we were just talking about a Bika valley, Mishum Dolo Havel, so there, look, we did give parameters. But when it comes to a house where there we were making measurements, and meanwhile it was part of the measurement, Kule's ovenly. So here we have a very strong argument that you make, and that look, we did give the measurements, it was included in the measurements, and therefore it's part of the sale. So tzricha. So again, you could have made even a stronger argument that the hallway is included in the sale. Look, we did measure, it is included in the measurement, and therefore it should be part of the sale. So that again, it's a chiddush to say that's not part of the sale, and tzricha, that's why it's necessary. Okay. So basically, what we've learned over the course of this morning is that in our Mishnah, things that are not included in the sale are the annex. Two interpretations of the Gemara in terms of what an annex is. And the storage room is also not included in the sale. And even though the Gemara says that's obvious, it's not part of the bais, it's not part of the residential house, we are now going to be saying a big chiddush based on the ruling of Rav Nachman, which is that even if I give measurements, the exterior measurements of the house, and even if the storage room is included within the exterior measurements of the house, it's still not going to be part of the sale. I didn't write in the contract language like I'm not retaining anything for myself. Therefore, the default assumption is you are retaining something for yourself, and therefore anything which functionally is different, you are retaining for yourself. The storage room is functionally different, and again, the chiddush of the day is that even though I gave perimeter, and even though it's included in the perimeter, but it's still not going to be included in the sale. We'll finish up. One more point for today. Keman Azla Hada Amar Rav Mari Berad Bashmol Mishmei Abaye. The Gemara says, let's learn a statement that was brought to us in the name of Abaye. That whenever you make a sale, one person to another, you must write in the language in the sale that I don't retain anything for myself. Otherwise, we're going to have a default assumption that you are going to retain something for yourself. So, Kaman Karev Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua. So the Gemara says that the statement of Abaye obviously goes in correspondence to that of Rav Nachman. Basically, you can align together this morning the ruling of Rav Nachman, the ruling of Abaye, that in order for a sale to be a completed sale where everything is included, you must write, and I don't retain anything for myself.
Why do we assume that?
The Gemara elsewhere, it's funny, the Gemara doesn't mention it over here. The Gemara elsewhere talks about whether a mocher sells b'ayin yafa, b'ayin ra. Meaning, what's his general disposition when he sells? Is he selling from a perspective of being a giver, or basically, I'll sell, but it's really under duress?
He learned Ayin Yafa because he's happy that he's getting.
When it comes to Matana, so the Gemara says there's no debate. Matana is given by Ayin Yafa. In other words, look, that's just he's giving. So by gifting, for sure, the Gemara said earlier that's buying yafa. When it comes to sale, right? Remember, the Gemara said that people sell generally when they're under duress, meaning people don't like to sell their things. So again, so then you could say that his general disposition is that he's selling, but you know, not with a full heart, and as much as he can withhold, he would. That's the. It's funny the Gemara doesn't mention that over here in our discussion. Okay, just one last point, and then we'll conclude. You know, we're talking about what is being retained and what is not being retained in a sale, and we're looking at the language of the contract, we're looking at the general disposition, we're looking at functionally whether they're the same or they're not the same. How about the purchase price? The Gemara doesn't raise this issue. The Rashbam does. The Rashbam says, what about the purchase price? Let that be an indicator in terms of what is included and what is not included in the sale. So the Rashbam says, very good. The Rashbam says that Eino Nola Karkos, that when it comes to the sale of property, so there is no Isra of Ona. We can understand it on the simplest level, and the Rambam does. So, you know, this morning, you know, we can work with the Rambam's understanding on the simplest level that there really is never a fixed price when it comes to property. And property can be evaluated, approximated to whatever the seller and the buyer agree to. and there could be wild swings and wild fluctuation in prices regarding property. And so therefore the Rashbam says that's why the Gemara never entertains the idea that the price should be an indicator of what is and is not included in the sale because of the principle of Eino Nala Karkos. Okay? We stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up on the bottom of the Yemen.